And honestly, I don't even know what I'm doing up here. So I might have you, you know, just hear what I have to say. I'm only speaking from the heart today. I'm just trying to give you a little past. It's probably as much my testimony as is anything else. And myself, you know, my walk with God, where I've been in the past, I don't know, a couple of years, it's been, some things have changed. And, you know, I've been up here before, and I can tell you, those who do it, it's not easy. You know, I enjoy sitting up here, sitting in my seat and listening to, you know, Aaron and Hannah and those, the rest of you, the gems, really, the gems, you get it, two gems. J-I-M's, guys, don't let your head swell. So enjoy listening to you guys talk. And above all, though, we have a pastor that speaks from the heart, that has a great word of God. And today we're sharing our blessings with another congregation somewhere else in the state of West Virginia. And I just pray that God's with her. But when she asked me to speak, you know, my first response wasn't the right response. And glad Aaron can laugh about this, but as you go through, you know, God put these couple verses in my heart. So if you look at 1 Peter 4:10, I don't know whether I can talk from here or there, but every man hath received the gift. Minister the same one to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man ministers, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praised and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so when, this is part of my testimony, because when Sister Lisa said, looked at me there in the aisle, and, you know, sometimes I used to come in later, maybe so she didn't get me, but I was early that day, and she said, "Do you want to speak next Sunday?" And first response was, no. And then some things came back. It rushed into my mind quickly that I have been in a situation, you know, over the past year. I wake up this morning, you see the green, and you see how beautiful it is, and we're being reborn, right? Well, I've been through my dry spell. And I can tell you later on here, I want to talk a little bit about, and everything I say today about me is not about me. It's about who I am. And who I am is the same as who you are. That we all do things the same way. And my walk with God, as it's been, when I say, one of those dry moments, I've actually got to a point here about the end of last year where I felt like, after this illness with my face and the things that go on, I felt like, God, I'm in a dry spell, but you just showed me some light, because I know you touched this thing that they told me could not be healed in my face. So I know that there's some places that I can go, and I know that you're hearing me. Now, here's what I want to say. I don't feel comfortable in my walk with you. I need you to help me step out. I need you to help me to do more things. So then whenever I came in and I listened to Brother Johnny Rowlett the other night, and you hear about his whole life is about his past, and it's all about what he kept saying, what he kept trying to drive home to us was just keep going. Just keep taking that one more step. Just keep putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation, and God's going to see you through it. So with all that being said, you know, all those things within the seconds when I'm standing there and Lisa's got that deviant smile on her face that you just can't resist. And I'm like, okay. She said, you'll be fine. I'm like, okay. So we trust her, but most of all, we trust in our Savior Jesus Christ, that I think she was being told to ask me to do this, because I think that's one more thing God's asking me to do, to step out and to be something more and to do something more than what I've done. And today I want to just talk about that love. I want to talk about, you know, where I've been in my life and my walk with God, and talk about the love that he shares for all of us and what he wants us to have as we move forward. So if you turn with Peter 4:1-8, first of all, And I'm going to read some scripture, and then I'll talk a little bit here. But as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the minds, with the same mind that he hath suffered the flesh, hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past, life may suffice us to have the growth that will the Gentiles when they walked in. Okay. Lust, excess of wine, revealings, banquetings, abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. By ye therefore sober, and which upon prayer, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for the charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So, in reading that scripture, I just felt like it was sort of like, you know, a couple weeks ago when God was speaking to me, and I think one of the things he's asked me to speak out on is, how can I help others? And it's not sometimes by the way you give money. It's not sometimes by the way you do things. But it's sometimes just by the person you are and whether you're ready to open your heart and open your arms and welcome people with respect and dignity and honor the way you want to be treated. And as I spoke, as I thought through this, I one thing keeps coming back in my mind. And this is part of my thing. I was at a funeral at another church, and we were getting ready to pull out of the driveway. And the sign right before you got on the road said, you are now entering the mission field. And that sunk in with me. With all the things we have going on in the streets of our towns, in our small communities, in our large cities, with the homeless and the drugs and the alcohols and the people just struggling to survive, whether it's poverty, whether it's whatever, we don't have to go overseas to be in the mission field. We have people right here in our country who need our help. And when I think back through, you know, what God has done for me and through my life, and you know, probably as I told you, this might even be somewhat testimony, but it's not about me. It's just that I want you to know that he's always there for you. Around the age of 12, and, you know, as I was coming up, you know, through church, and trust me, I was brought up in the church to know the difference of right or wrong, to know that Jesus was always there for you, and I'll keep on here, and I'll get to my punchline, and it'll be over, and you guys will be going home, so, because I can't stay on track. But anyway, you know, I remember the first time I gave my heart to God, and it was almost under pressure, if I could say that, but nobody was standing there with a gun to your head, but you felt like, hey, it was the right thing to do, so you did it. And I was probably around 12 years old, and probably those of you who know me, and Sister Jenny probably knows me as well as my own mother, maybe better in some things, so we won't share that right now. But she saw me grow up, and she knew, as she would say, I think, the rascal that I was sometimes. And it probably wasn't a pleasant person to be around at times, and, you know, it's no different than that's just who I was and the way I wanted to be. But as I turned my life over to Christ, and, you know, you thought, man, this feels good, and you'll never forget that moment. You know, it's just like that, you know, sometimes that first date you go on, you never forget that moment when you first time you might fall in love with somebody. Well, you know, you fall in love with Jesus Christ, you'll never forget that moment. And as time went on, you know, I lived my life the way I wanted to. And remember that even though I was living my life the way I wanted to, it wasn't necessarily by the way I should have been living it. But God loves me. Jesus loves me. And you know why I was living it? Because he let me live it. Now, I understand that things happened through my life. I saw friends who, you know, who perished. I saw things happen that could have happened to me. And through all those things, you never think, you're untouchable. That's not going to happen to me, that I can get through this. And but as things keep going and you keep getting older, you start recognizing, well, you know, something's not right here, you know. I felt his love. I know that things can be better. Why are these things happening to me? Well, because he loves you. Because he's letting you do what you want to do. You know, there's things that we do, you know, and we say to ourselves, and I go through it. There's a gentleman at where I work that'll ask me, he said, well, you know, we get to talking about church and why some congregations are losing and getting smaller and while new churches are popping up. And I try to explain to him, and he and I think differently about this, how the youth need to be involved. And I, as a youth, you know, the things I did that I know didn't make Jesus happy, but I did them. And guess what? He brought me through it. And he brought me through it because he had a plan, the same plan he had from the day I was conceived in my mother's womb, right? He had a plan for me then, and he's still got a plan for me. But as we go through life, and I was thinking about these things and thinking about what I was going to say this morning, it's like, so some of you might sit there and say, well, you did those, and now you're up here, you know, speaking to us. Well, you know, I'm just talking with you. I'm not a preacher. I'm just telling you what my life has been like, and I'm just going to tell you that Jesus can do the same for you that he's done for me, that no matter the bad things I did and the things that just didn't seem right, where was I going to turn? And, you know, I got to be honest with you, it was 1999, it took me to the age of 40, you know, when I realized that I needed to get things back on track. And here was the reason why, is because he let me go and do what I wanted to do. But sometimes when we want to do, there's a price to pay. It doesn't say he don't love us. It doesn't say that our road's not going to be tough as we move forward. But he is saying that he'll always be with us and he'll always guide us through it. And at the age of 40, I remember I was going through, I had the job I wanted. I was in a place I wanted to be in. Things were just perfect for me, right? Then all of a sudden, everything starts going crazy. The people that work for you, I don't know those of you who have people, Jim, I know you understand, but they're unionized. They decide they don't want to be in a union. They want to decertify. When you do that, you bring out, trust me, all the demons in the closets. You know, everybody that has a wicked side to them, you'll see it during this time frame. People following you home, things started going crazy. Then at that point in time, I started going through a personal issue with a divorce. A new boss comes in that takes over who, you know, our company is just like every other big company. They feel like that, hey, we bring somebody from our competitor, it's going to show us how to do it. Well, this guy didn't do nothing, but really totally messed it up. And of course, they're no longer with us, but that's all how God answers prayers. But in the meantime, it was being done for me, which I didn't know then, but I know now. And it got so bad that after going out one day and going through all these things day in and day out, walking through the pain and the anguish of the personal problems, the professional problems, every day one thing kept coming up in my mind, you know where to go. You know where you can go back to. And it's just like, you know, if anybody in this world that was ever born and walks the face of this earth can have the story of the prodigal son. Because our Jesus has got his arms wide open for us every day to return to him. And I kept hearing this, and, you know, as we think about that, hey, we have to go to church, we have to be saved, the things, it doesn't happen that way. And quite frankly, for me, it was just simply there that day at my desk, just saying to the Lord, take this life back. We got things to fix, and I know it's not going to be easy, but take these things from me. And at that point, I'm like, even that I knew deep down inside, folks, I was feeling like I'm giving up some of the best things I thought I ever had, right? But at the same time, I got to tell you, I'm sitting there watching people around me who are living their life in the right way, who are trying to do things right. And I see them, those of you who know me know I love to hunt. And I see them going on hunting trips, and I can't do that. And I don't understand why. So whenever I did that, and I told God, just take this life. It's going to be what it's going to be. I can't live this personal life any longer. I can't live this professional-type life any longer. I enjoy what I'm doing, but knowing that probably my career of what I was doing was going to come to an end. However, he had a different plan for me. His plan was, you're going to stay with this company, which July 9th will be 32 years, or 39 years, excuse me, with this company. You're going to stay here. You are going to go through a divorce. You're going to be put with a person in your life that's going to help you come back to the Lord. And he's doing that because of several things. And oh, by the way, you're going to enjoy things that you never thought you could enjoy. And that's all hard to believe, right? So the first thing that happened is, you know, when back in 1999, I started CNV. She invited me to church here with her and her mom. And when I come through the door and I heard our pastor's voice and heard her words, it was so sweet and so inviting. And it was saying, come for more. And the next Sunday, I came for more. And since 1999, I've had to miss a few. And some of them I've had to pray because I missed. But, you know, let me tell you something. When I turned around and I started coming here, I found the salvation again that I was missing. I found that I've been on more hunting trips since 1999 than I was on my whole life prior to that. Something I truly enjoy doing. It's not about that. It's about what you truly enjoy doing. It's about what God's put in my heart. He's put me with a family that I never thought I would have, some grandkids, and I really never thought I'd have that many of those. I mean, I know Cheryl, I won't pass her, but just put me in a situation in my life and my job. I was still struggling with some of that, and I'm standing there one day, and I'm like, just get me away from people. I just don't want to be judging people any longer, and I felt like as a manager, that's what I was doing. And Sister Jenny was speaking one day, and I was sitting in that seat, and she sat up here, and I'll never forget it. It's like somebody's struggling with their job in here. And I'm telling you, because to just let go and let God take care of it, the job I wanted was coming open, and I'm fighting it. I am fighting the job that I wanted to do, to quit managing people, to still do what I love to do, to be managing myself. And today, guess what? Since that day, and I did, and that week after she said that, I was in that job. To this day, I'm still in that job. Now, you tell me that God don't have a plan for you. And you tell me that you don't want to listen to what he says, then I'm going to tell you, you're going to go through some tough times. And I'm going to tell you that you're going to go through some tough times even when you do listen. But he's going to help you through them. Whether it's illnesses, you know, whether it's financial issues, whether it's just burdens, God will be there to help you. And I can tell you, the people in this room, the people outside of here, because all this is a building, we make this church, right? Yeah, and there's a lot of people here this morning, and everybody in this room is here to help each other, to help us to move forward in our life with Christ. Turn with me for... Let's just go to 1 John 7 through 9, so I'll skip the 7 through 21, Lisa. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son cleanseth us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, I thought I had one more. That's good. So what I liked about that verse is to sort of go along with what I'm saying here this morning is that no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what's happened to you, what you think's going to come, there's no mind readers, okay? You just turn it all over to Jesus, that he will forgive you for everything, no matter what. And if there's a place where you feel uncomfortable in your life, there are so many resources that you can reach out and talk to. There's so much that you can do. There's so much that Jesus has for all of us. And, you know, I could just go on and share, you know, lots of good things and lots of bad things about my life and about what's going on in our life. But the bottom line is, what I want you to understand this morning is that God is here. Jesus loves you. He loves every one of you. And I'm going to say it over and I'm going to say it over again, because since my walk with him started again, you know, the refresh, and that's what I'm calling it, because, you know, I'll go back to the conversation with Sister Lisa. You know, I sat with my mother one day when we were going through this, and I my mom's like, you know, we were talking about why the churches are what they are and why some's losing congregations and some's growing. And, you know, it's like, okay, Mom, things got to change with times, right? We have to. We don't ever have to forget who Jesus Christ is. And that one book that's never going to change in our life is this one. This book is forever going to be the same. But we have to understand that we have to help young people understand the ways of the life, and that things are going to be better in their life, that it's not going to be bad, and it's not going to be all gloom and doom. That, you know, when we ask, when God says our government's on his shoulders, it truly is on his shoulders. When we start seeing things going bad, we start seeing things look up a little bit too. So when her and I were talking, I was sitting there, and, you know, part of what I was going through that, and I was like, Mom, I got to be honest with you. The days of, and I had the same conversation with the gentleman at work, the days of, hey, I got to dress up on Sunday to come to church. Well, I got to be honest with you. So this morning, yesterday, I'm like, well, I guess I ought to wear, you know, a pair of dress pants. But I got to be honest with you, I got to do that every day of the week. Monday through Friday, I wear a dress shirt. And so on weekends, I love my jeans, okay? This is who I am, all right? And God was like, that's who you are, that's who you go as. And I think his point this morning was, I was washing my hair and the lights are on, everything's going around, and all of a sudden everything goes and I'm washing the soap out of my eyes. Well, guess what? It's dark. Electric's out. So now I'm in the closet with the flashlight looking for clothes. Well, guess what? It wasn't hard to find the clothes that I was supposed to be wearing. You know, so here I was. So these things, and then, you know, other things that, you know, I think people grew up with believing that, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't do this in church, and you shouldn't do that in church, and you shouldn't wear this, and you shouldn't wear that. And the thing of it is, you know, Jesus Christ is in the bars. He's above the bars. You know, it's like Brother Johnny spoke here Wednesday night. If he wants to go drink a beer, he could. Not that he was going to, but if he did. But you know what? It's what he did with that. It's how you handle yourself that makes Jesus love us for what we are. You can go to a bar, and when you turn your life over, I guarantee you the people that work around you will see that. You don't have to say a word. When they start cursing and they look at you and say, oh, excuse me, then you know where I'm at. And they will do their best to work with you. But as Mom and I were talking through this thing, it was, and I told you I'd jump all over the place on you. And, you know, my what I was telling her, I was like, Mom, you know, we as people, my generation, we followed your generation. And now there's generations following us. I mean, I know, you know, Sherry's a little older than I am, but that's okay. So I said, it's on me. That is on us to bring the message to the people to show that, you know, what you need in life is not on the streets. It's not out there somewhere else, but it's right here. And I'm telling you, if you bring a person with you here, and I just look over this congregation, because when I come here, in 1999, it wasn't this full, okay? It really wasn't. But I'm telling you this, that when our pastor starts speaking and people start hearing her and you start inviting her, and she starts inviting him, and you start inviting her, this place is going to fill up. And this is a testament of it right here today. You know, one of the things that when Lisa says, will you speak? I'm thinking, okay, how many people's going to be here? Because I can get up all day long and speak in front of people, but it's normally all scripted out for me by somebody else, and it's all on a deck, and I can throw it up on the overhead. Well, this isn't on a deck, and I have no clue half of what I've just told you guys, other than I want you to know that Jesus loves you. I want you to know that no matter what you do, no matter where you've been, and I am going to keep saying this over and over again, Jesus loves you. And this church, you don't have to get saved here. You can get saved anywhere. You've heard this a million times. You can get saved on a riverbank, in a fishing boat, in a hunting blind, on a ball field. It doesn't matter. You can do it. And I think one of the other things that came to my mind when I was studying yesterday was, so I think when I was growing up, part of the theme was, well, if you don't, you know, you're going straight to hell and you're not going to have time to do it. But, you know, I believe that you've got time up to the last minute. I hope you don't miss that, because if you wait to the last minute, you're going to miss enjoying all the fun we're having now. So don't wait till that last minute. But I remember that, you know, our family being the same as yours, that the doctor coming into my aunt, you know, my cousin had overdosed and was on the edge of his life, and the doctor come in, and my aunt just, she loves God with all of her heart and soul. Her husband loves God. They worship, and the loss of their youngest son did not deflect that in any way. If anything, it made it stronger. But I remember her saying, the doctor said, the last thing that goes is their hearing. And that told me at that time, you keep speaking Jesus into his life, he's going to keep hearing that Jesus loves him, and he's still going to have time, even though you may not talk to him again. But the fact was, he was brought up the same way I was, the same way RC was. We're a pretty good-sized family, not just pretty good size. We're a pretty good-sized family. We like to eat too, but you know, when I think of that, he knew where to go back to, and I truly believe to this day that he had his chance, and I also believe to this day that another soul came to Christ because of this. Somebody who wasn't going to church now has never missed a day. He reads the Bible, spends time in the woods with his pastor who enjoys spending. He would never have done that in the past. So there's so many things out there. I could stand here and tell you about everything. I'm just like you guys. I'm just like somebody in here. Nothing's any different. But God loves you. And that's the message. I just, you know, the other week when I stood up and said something, it was like he wasn't going to let me alone. And I've asked for that, though. Right? So with Sister Lisa, I'm thinking, you're torturing me, but I asked for that. I asked God, a few months back, I said, take me to the next step, because I'm feeling dry. I'm feeling like nothing's happening in my life. I need the next step. And guess what? You ever heard, be careful what you ask for? Well, I'm living proof, people. But I can tell you this. Not that I'm enjoying this, but I'm enjoying what he's given me in return. And I just want you to know that. Turn to, actually, that was the last one I gave you, right, Lisa? Yep, okay. So the other one I didn't give you, but, you know, the one thing, and I got to tell you, you know, I mean, I don't have a whole lot more. But one thing as I was reading through this, it was Zechariah 1-3. And I, for some reason, this one verse stuck out to me and said, thus saith the Lord, return to me, and I will return to you. Right? So everything I studied yesterday, and I swear to you, I spent 4 hours, and I don't even have a clue. I can spend 4 hours, and I'm one of the worst people to read a book and go do it. I got to touch it, feel it, and get into it. But I can tell you what I've been telling you the whole morning. Come to me, and I will come to you. He came to me once. He gave me the chance once. I made a choice. I made a choice to go another way. I lived through the pain of that. Some of the illnesses and some of the sicknesses that I'm going through today, okay, is because of what I did then. Because I did things that I shouldn't have done, but he was letting me do what I needed to do. I just thank God he saw me through those things. I just thank God that he stayed with me. And then in 1999, I was ready to go back to him. And you know what? He was there with arms wide open. Wide open. So, that's about all I have today. I just want you to understand that if there's anybody in here and you think differently or you're confused about anything or you're not sure about something, find somebody to talk to. You don't have to come up here. You can find myself, Brother Jim, Sherry, anybody, any of these people you see, you know, in here every day. Come and talk to us. Just listen to what we have to say. We're not going to lead you astray, and you can walk away, and you know what the beautiful thing is? You can continue doing what you want to do. Or you can say, I want to follow this life and start a new life. And this is one thing I can promise you. I can promise you that if you do that, it will be fun. You will be enjoying it. You won't have to, as I read in the scripture here earlier, you won't have to have a beer. You won't have to have the things you used to do, you won't want to do. For the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, Sister Lisa has been talking about the love of Jesus, the 7 sayings on the cross and what he's given for us. He died for our sins, the anguish, the pain. If we can't sit back and just imagine what he went through, just for us to say, I love you, come into my heart, let me be a part of you, I promise you, he won't give you something that you can't handle. You might think it for a minute. I did last Sunday, but here I am. And only because of you folks that I can do that, because I feel comfortable being in front of you. But I hope that I have said what God wants me to say today, and that I can walk out of here feeling like I have touched somebody in some way, because if just one person can hear, Jesus loves you. Come to him. I promise you, you won't regret it. I promise you that you'll live the life you want to live. You'll be happier than you've ever been. But I won't tell you there won't be tough times. There will. But I will tell you that your real friends will be here to help you through it. And your biggest supporter and your best friend, Jesus Christ, will be with you. So that's all I have. Early lunch, if anybody wants to pay me for that. Don't let Lisa hear this one. But what I want to say as we leave, you know, and I ask Beth to just sing a song and listen to the words of the song, because it's a song that's hit me from the day one that I come in here. And just listen to these words, and if you feel like you want to come to this altar, or you need somebody to pray with you, then just come up here and somebody will pray with you. Because one of the promises that I made when Mom and I was talking was, Mom, we need to help people understand things are better, that it is a good life. We need to, and that's on me. I say we, but I am we. That is on me. I'm the one that has to stand up too. And one of the things was, I think that I struggled with a few weeks ago, was trying to sit there and ignore the fact that God was talking to me, until Brother Jim got up here and said, okay, everybody can be seated, and I couldn't sit down. I couldn't sit down. So I just want you to listen to the words of the song. I appreciate you listening to me, and I hope I did you some justice. And I just love you all, and thank you for the time. Thank you.